Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400, KKZZ, Ventura County's Inspiration Station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started.
All right, let's get started in here, and I welcome all of you on our Motivational Monday. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing great.
All right, I don't think I hear Dr. Stephen Trudeau.
I don't hear me either.
I hear you in here, but I want everybody to hear you out there. So,
I can hear you.
There we go. Yeah. And we got Marsha, and we got Dr. Stephen Trudeau here. We got Barry on our board, and our phone number here is 805-639-0008. And I hope that all of those amazing mothers out there had an amazing Mother's Day. I did.
Did you? Did you have a great Mother's Day?
I really did. Yeah. Did Mary have a great Mother's Day?
Yeah, she did.
You hope so.
Yeah. All right. You're not working. How about you switch with Barry then?
Here we go. Barry's mic for a moment.
Oh, wait, I can hear you.
I think you just came in there.
I can hear you.
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. Well, this mic always gives me a little bit of the fritz here.
I'm just trying to motivate you on Monday here, you know? All right.
Make you feel a little insecure before you.
Yeah, no big deal. All right. Anyways, well, I want to let you know of all the ways that you can find us and our... A couple things have changed here. I am no longer on at 1 o'clock, so you definitely have to tune in from 8 to 9. But you can hear all of my back shows from on KimPaganoShow.com and also on iTunes. They're downloaded there, too. So I do want to, you know, welcome you to check that out. Also, become a friend on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. That's the best way to stay in touch because you post stuff all week long.
I do.
You know, your guests come on afterwards and post, you know, a comment or a thought or a resource. You know, that Facebook page is the place to be.
Definitely. So I would love to hear of any wonderful stories of anybody that had amazing weekend, you know, planned for. It was a great weekend for me.
Yeah, it was.
It was funny. I got up early, my coffee, you know, I start my day like that. And then my husband and I took a little walk and it was a little cool out there. Mm-hmm. But then it just started to warm up and it was an amazing day for Mother's Day. So I hope everyone had a great day. What did you do for your wife?
What did I do for my wife? I tried to take everything I could off her hands.
Okay.
We have our family over, my mom and dad and her mom and dad.
And what did you do for your mom?
Well, we got, you know, gifts and cards and flowers and stuff like that and strawberries.
I brought in some strawberries to share. Thank you so much.
But I made, my wife doesn't really like sweets very much. But one of the things that she will indulge in from time to time is a strawberry ice cream. So I made homemade strawberry ice cream for her.
Wow, fun. That sounds really
good. I can't believe how long it takes to chop, you know, 4 cups of strawberries.
Wow.
It takes a long time sitting there with the knife slicing and dicing and chopping it up and doing
all
that.
Have you heard of a food processor?
Yeah, that makes it a little too much. But
that's
one of those things that I'm just afraid of. Of connecting with the food processor just scares me, you know, and those whirling blades.
Well, you're not supposed to put your hand in
very
it.
Intimidating.
That would be
very
harsh.
Intimidating. Well, but yeah, we cooked some amazing steaks from Whole Foods, which was awesome.
There you go.
Eating local strawberries and cooked broccoli out of the garden for the vegetable and just hung around and had fun and just relaxed and enjoyed. It was very, very nice.
That's great. Well, my younger daughter actually planned our day and she did an amazing job doing that, you know, and she invited kind of all their friends and boyfriends, families and fiancés' families over. And so it was just a really good day. And it's funny, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, I like to get the dishes done and cleaned up. And so I started out that way. And my husband finally came in after everybody was done eating and there was a lot of dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up saying, he's like, honey, this is your day. I was shocked.
Did you go to the
movies? So excited. Yeah, no, he goes, this is your day. You need to sit down. I'm like, are you sure? You know, so he ended up, okay, all the boys in the kitchen, you know, all the husbands in the kitchen. So it was nice.
Well, I had a good day, but I loved Mother's Day, but my gift to myself was to walk in the breast cancer walk at USC on Saturday morning. And, you know, I'm a survivor, and it was really inspirational.
That's great.
They had everybody, you either, if you're a survivor, you have a plaque you can put on your back that says you're a survivor, or you can walk in tribute to somebody or in memory of somebody. And to see the tributes from other people, it was really touching.
In fact, Saturday I went to the in Camarillo, the Sarah Center, and went to the Gold Dust Gala, and that, what an amazing organization! These are for women that have cancer, and
all kinds of cancer,
and and they don't have enough funds. Maybe their insurance are short and stuff, so they actually help fund it.
You know, I love that term, survivor.
Yeah.
But I really love the behavior that I see in these women, and you, Marcia, of thriving. Not just surviving, getting by, but truly thriving.
Yeah, and it is really inspirational to see these different people. And, you know, I shouldn't say I had it easy, but I had it a lot easier than other people. I didn't have to have chemotherapy, so you don't lose your hair. It is a totally different thing when you lose your hair, because it
takes
says to everybody in the world, this woman is got a deadly disease. I mean, I hate to say that, but that is, so I was lucky in that respect, but just the look on people's faces of these really inspirational women, and women that on the back set, you know, the survivor 10 years, 15 years, 18 years, it was really wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, so many people say that their life wouldn't be the same, even though it was a huge hardship, you know what I mean? But we have to grow from things like that.
You do learn from everything you do or have. You know, you do learn.
You know, don't you think or hope that someday surviving cancer will be as common as surviving pneumonia?
I hope so.
Pneumonia used to be a death sentence.
I do.
And now it's an inconvenience. It's still very serious. You got to take your medicine and get better and rest. But I hope someday that cancer is just as treatable as pneumonia.
Early detection is the key to getting over cancer. So,
yes,
it saddens me when I see people trying to inhibit people from getting early treatment, and that saddens me.
Definitely. You know, I'm really excited about our show today. We are going to be talking with Dr. Gordon Livingston, and his book is The Thing You Think You Cannot Do. And, you know, here on my show, I always encourage you to do something that you don't think you can do and to do something that you don't like doing. And every day.
You mean like dishes?
Yeah, really. Well, the thing that you put
laundry
off, I kind of have that pile that you kind of put on your desk.
Going to the gym or...
Yeah.
Yeah, or taking
taxes
a walk
or
I mean, anything. You know, sometimes you just go, oh, not right now. And when I think of not right now, I think of, I'm going to go do it right now.
Confronting somebody.
I mean, just there's so many things. But anyways, and then we're going to be talking again, kind of a tribute to Mother's Day.
I got some good
stuff. Yeah, just, you know, moms and all that stuff. So I do want to give out our phone number here, 805-639-0008. And also I'm going to give away some soup plantation tickets for our Camarillo soup plantation.
You know, those are so favored by your guests.
I know.
Whenever you say soup plantation, the phone rings off the
there
hook.
You go. I know. And you want to know why? Because they have that cream of mushroom soup on Mondays. I'm telling you, I love that. So anyways, I will be there today for lunch, and it's a really great place. So anyways, I want to welcome Dr. Gordon Livingston. Are you there?
I am there, Kim.
Welcome. Hi. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I like your book. It's cute. It's 30 Truths About Fear and Courage. Tell us a little bit about yourself. This is actually your second book, right?
Oh, it's actually my fifth.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I've had this little series of books.
So your first one?
My first one was a book about the loss of my six-year-old son, which I wrote back in the 90s, and from leukemia. And then following that, I've written a book called Too Soon Old, Too Late, Smart that sold pretty well, and then since then, have written other books. They're really collections of essays and ideas. But this one is was written around the issues of fear and courage, and why fear is the central issue of our time and ways in which we can exhibit the only non-pharmacologic antidote to it, which is to face the fear and demonstrate some courage.
Now, tell us a little bit about who you are and why you started writing.
Well, I'm a psychiatrist in Maryland, I've had kind of a varied experience. I was in the military for a time, was in Vietnam, and then came back and trained as a psychiatrist, and so I think just in the practice of therapy, you see a lot of people facing difficult moments in their lives, and some of them do better than others, so I've always admired people who can face the vagaries of life that we all must with steadfastness and resilience, and it's been my good fortune to know many of those, and I tell a few of those stories in this book.
I like how you start every chapter with a saying, and then I like this one, beware of ideas of which we all agree.
Yes, exactly.
So that doesn't mean we're all on the same page?
Well, it means that we all agree on certain things that are not true. Such as, for example, everybody who puts on a uniform is a hero, which is true in many cases, but not all. And so I think we have to be realistic about what really constitutes heroism, because I think that's been that's a degraded term in our society. So it's come to be equated with simple competence. So when somebody lands a plane on the river, the Hudson River, they're anointed a hero, and ignored is the fact that they didn't have any real choice. So I think to be a hero, you have to have a choice, and you have to face some risk. So a surgeon who operates on a patient and saves their life is obviously a competent surgeon, but there was no risk to them, so I don't think that makes them a hero. So I think that we just kind of throw that term around and have lost track of what heroism really is.
You talk a lot about courage. On several of your chapters are about courage, and I like this. Courage is not a feeling, it is a habit.
Yeah, that's right. I think we can train ourselves, and when we think about how to teach it, we need some examples of people who really demonstrate courage, and that's why I think we need to be selective about those people that we and try to follow the example. I mean, in our daily lives, not much courage is expected of us in the normal course of things, so we emphasize safety all the time as if that were our primary goal. But it catches up to us eventually, because we all have to face no matter how blessed we are, we have to face the prospects of aging and death, and how we meet those challenges defines us very clearly.
So how do we find our courageous self?
Well, I think it's practice. I mean, I think we have to practice standing up for the things that we believe strongly in. I think we have to show intolerance for people, particularly political people, who don't demonstrate much courage in their lives and yet are eager to tell or force the rest of us to live the way they want us to. So I think we need to just pay attention to this virtue and practice it whenever the occasion arises, standing up against injustice, facing those crises that are likely to affect us all.
You know, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Marcia. We got Dr. Stephen Trudeau. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. We've got Barry on our board. We're talking to Dr. Gordon Livingston, and his book is The Thing You Think You Cannot Do. Fear, okay? I mean, it sounds like everything's kind of based upon fear or around fear, and as children, when we're born, we're not born with fear, correct?
Well, I think the fear is kind of programmed into us in a sense, because it was a very adaptive emotion when we lived on the African plains and had to be aware of all the threats to our lives that larger animals and so forth, so that we had to develop this fight or flight response to it. But now that most of those threats have been removed, now we're afraid of different things like public speaking or rejection in love or taking a test or any, we react to those with some of the same physiologic responses and that may not be appropriate. And so there, when people come in for psychotherapy, for example, it's often because they're feeling anxious, which is another word for fear. And what you quickly learn is that if anxiety leads to avoidance behaviors, then your life gradually shrinks. But if we confront it, whatever it is we may be afraid of, driving or intimacy or any of those other things, then it gradually gets better. So
We have Dr. Stephen Trudeau here, and he's a therapist. And I know you deal with a lot of teenagers that, they're kind of put on the spot out there. And
teenagers and adults, I think teenagers show the most exaggeration in human behaviors. But, fear, anxiety, all of these things are natural human responses. It's when they're in excess or deficit that we suffer. I think the main thing that a lot of teenagers have, and of course carry into adulthood, is the belief that we should have the absence of fear in order to move forward, or that we should have the absence of discomfort in order to be happy. There's this, I'm only going to be happy if there is no fear, no anxiety, no discomfort whatsoever. And that's just not true. When we live with discomfort on a daily basis and being slightly uncomfortable, that's normal. That's okay. And you can go on and live your life.
And that's usually when you grow the most, I think.
Right. Yeah. But if we teach our children on an everyday basis that we all are afraid.
We're all afraid.
And you get that right off the bat.
Right.
We're all afraid. If you're going through a different chapter in your life, maybe, getting married, not getting married, a new job, whatever you are doing in your life, we all have that fear, that little voice that says, can we do this? Are we going to be good at this? Are we going to be the best at this? And if we all know that we're on the same playing board, that we're on the level of each other, go for it.
And that's where that courage comes in, because if courage is not doing things because you don't feel fear. Courage is doing things despite the fear.
Correct.
You head straight forward to the thing that you are uncomfortable about or fear, and then you overcome it, and you feel good about yourself. And that's real self-esteem.
There you go. And, it's funny. I've always lived my life fake it till you make it, and I hear my kids start to say that, Mom, I'm just faking it till I make it, right? And I realize that, okay, that's only – I want them to use it, and I feel like I'm more in tune with who I am. Mm-hmm. That's a stepping stone.
Dr. Livingston, I really like this. It says, life is not a spectator sport. And then your quote underneath it is, the world is a dangerous place, not because of people who are evil, but because of people who don't do anything about it. That's by Albert Einstein. And I truly believe you have to take action in your life.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, that's really how we define ourselves. And I think that's an important idea, that we are what we do. We're not what we think or what we feel or what we say, and especially not what we promise or intend. We're what we do. That's who we are.
I find that with religious people a lot, is that they'll talk about being religious, but they don't necessarily live what they say they believe.
Yeah.
And so, I've tried to tell my kids that it isn't what you say you believe, it's what you do in your life that makes you one way or the other.
And so that's what it means that we're not here to watch, we're here to participate.
I like that.
And that's how we define ourselves.
I like that. And now, where do we find your book?
Well, you can find it, I think it's at most bookstores by now, or it's on Amazon, and I have a website, GordonLivingston.com, people can find it there as well.
Yeah, I like it. I would recommend it. It's got cute little, stories, and they're short little stories that you can kind of read.
Digestible.
Yeah, I do like, when chapters are short enough that you can read a chapter and digest it and go on, and then maybe come back and read another chapter.
Yeah, it's not intimidating.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being a part of my show.
Oh, Well, thank you for inviting me.
I appreciate it, and I love your input. All right. Well, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we are going to have fun. We're going to talk about moms and kind of just – I'm going to keep it going on, okay? That's what it's all about, right? We just had Mother's Day yesterday. I hope everybody had a wonderful day. And you are listening to Motivational Monday here on The Kim Pagano Show. I want to give out a set of gift certificates for lunch today at the soup plantation over here in Camarillo.
I got an idea. Let's have somebody call in, or many somebodies, and tell us what they think the most important trait of motherhood is.
Oh, great question. Great question. All right. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008.
It's Kim, and I want to share someone with you. My Mechanic. With over 30 years of experience, you can be sure that your car will always be handled with the latest diagnostic equipment. Everything that needs to be done to your car will be explained in layman's terms.
Hi, I'm Jerry Schaffner, owner of JBS Auto Services. We specialize in gas, diesel, domestic, foreign, street rod, heavy-duty trucks, and motorhomes. Give us a call so we can take care of all your automotive problems. We are located right off the 118 in Simi Valley. Give us a call, 805-522-3923. Again, that number is 805-522-3923.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollar. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/TheKimPaganoShow. And now, once again, here's Kim.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong. And I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that.
There's something empowering about that song, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's about motherhood, but it's
great
song.
It's about womanhood.
Yeah.
Do you get that same rush?
Probably. Well, a little bit. I'm not much of a disco fan. But,
I know, but there's
but
something about that.
I get
that.
It, and I see it culturally. I mean, every time that song is played at a club, everybody's dancing.
Yeah.
It's just, I will survive. It's a positive anthem.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that,
definitely.
That's
so,
what it's all about.
Yeah, anyways.
Positive.
Well, we have Yvonne on our line, and Yvonne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Did you have a great Mother's Day?
Yes, I did. I wanted to tell you what the most important thing is for a mother.
Okay.
To be there for your children when they have questions and they're in trouble. or whenever it happens, good or bad things,
yeah,
they come to their mother, and she should be able to straighten them out.
That's a good point.
For them.
Well, but you got to be ready to listen to what you don't want to hear too.
Yes, yes. To be there for them no matter what happened to them.
Well, thank you for that. That's really great. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you, Yvonne, for calling in. I appreciate that.
You know, being there for your kids really is one of the most important qualities of motherhood, and you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to answer every single question, but if you are there for them and say, well, let's find out together. Let's call an expert. Let's look it up on Google. Let's do something to find the answer together. I'm there for you. You can come to me with any question you have.
And I do think it's important not to solve some problems.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. You can't be there for everything.
No. I mean, you can't. Some things, they have to figure it out themselves.
Well, you know, it's interesting because my dad always taught me, if you can't personally figure it out, he kind of taught me not. They were always there, both my parents, and thank God I still have them. They are always there. But as you get older, you realize that, you know, they can't fix every single thing.
Right.
And so if you don't know personally how to fix it, mm-hmm. Obviously the computer is amazing now, but you go and you find an expert in whatever field it is that you need something.
Mm-hmm.
And you find, and not only just one, because it's just an opinion sometimes, but you find three different opinions, and then you make a logical decision.
Now, that comes to another trait that I think is really important, is knowing when to reach out and stop being so egotistical that because you are alive and breathing that you know exactly what you're doing.
Well, and sometimes it's better to get a third party. An example is our son John. When I was going through breast cancer, my other two kids, you know, cried about it and were over it. And John, he went to my husband and said, Dad, I think I'm depressed. And you know, we were like, oh. And he goes, I really do think I'm depressed. And he goes to Stephen Trudeau, actually. But it took him to make that
observation.
Yeah, that jump to say, you know, I think I need help. And then for us to listen to that.
Yeah.
Because some parents go, oh, yeah, you're just going through something. It's just a phase or whatever. But if your kid has the guts to come up to you and say, I think I'm, you know, I need some help, mm-hmm. get them help.
Well, yeah, you have to take their thoughts and, you know, everything seriously. So, I mean, that's a big thing, especially in teenagers, because it takes a lot of courage and for them to even get their thoughts on board. Yeah.
And some teenagers do internalize things much more than others.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, when you get to be a parent, largely it's a biological fact. That's your initiation into parenthood. But becoming a mom, I think, is an evolutionary process, because you have this beautiful little baby there that you're holding in your arms and you're gazing adoringly into its eyes. That's the very natural, almost easier part of it. But as you grow through parenthood, the kid challenges you to become a better parent, to grow as a human being, and to develop some of these skills.
I think it starts before that, because when you get pregnant, you live 9 months realizing that everything you do affects whether this child is born or not.
Well, hopefully, and you think that way.
Well,
there are people who don't.
That's true. And I did have a really high, because I had twins, I had a high problem. I was in bed for 3 months and I threw up for 6 months. So, you know, every single day. And it was really literally, if we can get one more week out of this pregnancy without them being born, they'll be born that much more healthy.
Yeah.
And so when my kids were born completely healthy, because I did everything the doctor wanted, I just had this feeling of already accomplishing something,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now the kids have to mm-hmm. grow and be healthy. But it started before they were born, I think.
But do you think that we wake up thinking that we have a goal for our lives? You know what I mean? Is that how you live your life? Like you have a goal, like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I have, somebody told me a long time ago that you need to have short-term goals, medium-range goals, and long-term goals.
Right.
And I've applied that financially, emotionally, spiritually, and so I have a number of goals out there, but I'm not thinking about them all the time. I let them just exist.
Put them out to the universe.
And they put them out to the universe, and then I go about my daily business. And there are times where I say, yes, I really want that thing on the other side of next week or next month or next year, but you know, trying to be a better person is a daily occurrence. I want to be a better father. Father's Day is going to come up here in a month and a half or so. And I look forward to not being celebrating fatherhood, because I do it every single day, or at least I try to.
You do.
But what I see in the mothers, they do things just so much differently. And it's kind of, I guess, from a guy's perspective, really cool to observe, knowing that I can't do what you do. I can't. I can't be a mother.
Wait, what do you mean?
I had a mother once say to me, "I'm a darn good mother." And she felt a little defensive because I was giving her some parenting strategies. She said, "Wait a minute, I'm a darn good mother. But I realize something. I'm a lousy father." And so by taking that into myself, I said, you know what? I'm a pretty good father, but I'm a lousy mother.
That's funny.
but do you think that parents should be mother and father?
No, some absolutely have not.
Well,
some
have to be.
Right.
Yeah. And so you celebrate that which you're not and surround your children with what you don't have within you.
Right.
You know, I don't have that mothering instinct. I have a fathering instinct. And I have an amazing mother for my child. My wife, Mary, is probably one of the best mothers I've ever met. And she's so natural at it. And it comes so easy to her. And I just shake my head in awe when I watch her do these things that just seem to come so naturally. And I would have to go to a book to find out what she does.
Right.
It's amazing to watch.
It's something that's in your heart.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something in your heart.
Yeah.
But
you guys are looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Well,
this is like,
it's the same thing when you said you wake up with a goal every day. I think it's exhausting to wake up thinking and worrying about every single day.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be conscious of your life, but don't exhaust yourself thinking of the future and miss what's going on right now.
Right.
It was so true.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I found something that I thought would be really cute to talk
sure.
about. And
sure.
it is, yeah. Which one of the five types of moms do you have or are you?
Ooh.
Okay.
Five types of moms.
Yes.
So
what are the types?
So right. there's the perfectionist mother.
Okay.
Whose family must look perfect in every way. Okay.
Not me.
Okay. At one point in my life, I think I was that.
Did you
know, and it's funny because we were getting all the stuff out yesterday for dinner, and somebody said, I forget what it was. I don't know. Oh, everybody brought me flowers, and they're like, do you want me to put them in a vase for you? And I was like, okay. And I always recut them and everything, yeah. right? And they're like, do you care how? I go, I look anal, but I'm not. And so then she started to cut them, or then she didn't cut them, like, oh, but
I am.
Oh, but you yeah. got to cut them, you know. So I guess I cut, you know, I mean, there's things that I
little
like.
A little bit of perfectionism creeps
yeah.
in.
Yeah. So I wonder, you know, ask yourself out there if you're, you know, thinking about it right now as you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show.
Again, as long as it's not a detriment to you, your relationships, or your family.
Correct.
It's your trait. If you want to be perfectionistic about a certain thing.
It puts a lot of pressure on you, I have to tell you.
But as long as it's something that makes you feel good,
it makes me happy.
If you cut the bottom of the flowers and you know it makes them live longer and enjoy the beauty longer, then you're taking responsibility for that. But if it comes at the expense of an argument with a family member,
right.
you know, you could always cut the bottoms off after they leave.
Well, and if you make it to the point, well, yeah. if you make it to the point they don't think they can ever live up to
yeah.
what you
yeah.
then that's a problem.
Expect out of them, then yeah. you have, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, my husband got in the kitchen and did all the dishes and he goes, you can fix it afterwards, you know?
Yeah, isn't
and,
that
and,
true?
And so then I was like, you know what? I'm grateful that you guys are doing it. But then, you know, at the end, I was like, okay, let's just clear everything away so I go to bed. I don't have to come out and there's dishes everywhere.
Right.
You know, so yeah. to me, you know,
there's
some
certain
people
things
can,
that bother
you.
You
want it the way
stuff.
You want it. I don't know. That's not pathological.
Okay.
Anyway, what's the second one?
The next one is unpredictable mother, whose
Ooh.
Ups and downs can create lifelong anxiety and depression in her son or daughter.
Meaning that if somebody approaches you with something, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. You got to. Oh, my God. You got. You right.
Yeah.
So whichever way, you never know how.
Although
going.
I've got to say there has been things in our lives that my kids have come up to me thinking I was going to be really upset about it. And for some reason, they hit me at just the right moment. And I was like, OK, well, how are we going to deal with that?
Yeah.
They're like, what
really?
What
yeah.
But if the majority of the pattern is that you're approachable.
Right.
And that you're not going to fly off the handle, then they can take comfort in that.
Marcia, right. I think you and I are just calloused by now.
I don't know. When you have four teenagers living in your house, you're like, okay,
yeah,
well, whatever. Bring it on. I know.
Exactly. That's it. Exactly.
But there are those people that, regardless of, you know, what age their kids are, the kid never knows which parent they're going to get when they ask them the question. You know, they say, Mom, do we have any cereal for breakfast? And it can be, oh, yeah, I just got all kinds of great cereal yesterday. Or, why are you always making me go to the store? I mean, you never know what you're going to get.
Well, I had a moment like that the other day. I really did. My son was going to the
prom. We're live right now. You know that. No, I'm just kidding.
My son was going to the prom. I hadn't taken a shower. I had gone on the walk in the morning. I come home. Everybody, when I got home, had me wanting me to do something for them or whatever. I hadn't taken a shower, you know. Mm-hmm. So I finally get in the shower, and Alec comes to the door and knocks on the door, completely panicked. Mom, they put two jackets in here and no vest and no tie. I'm like, oh, my God. It was 5 o'clock. He had to leave at 5 or quarter to 5. So I like, okay, just a second. He goes, but the... I have to get out of the shower, you know, like kind of like give me 5 minutes to wash the shampoo out of my hair.
Right.
And so I came out. I'm like, all right, let's deal with it. But, you know, sometimes you do have those. Oh, my God, just leave me.
When a kid provokes it a little bit by not taking no for an answer or just, you know, not
I mean, he was in a panic
minutes.
And
sure.
I understand that. And it was just like, oh, come on. But. Oh, well.
All right.
It all solved itself. I went down and got him. And, you know, of course, Mom came to the rescue. And went.
All right. What's the third one?
Okay. The next one is the me first mother whose children come second or last.
I know people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's your thought on that as a therapist?
Well, you know, that's a level of narcissism. You know, I'm the most important thing and my children are accessories. Just like the little toy dog in the bag that you carry around with you. You know, that's a problem. And maybe there are people out there that shouldn't necessarily have to become parents just because it's part of the social convention. Just like there are people who shouldn't have a pet, even though they think they need to because it's what everybody else is doing. And, you know, if it's all about you, then you're probably, you know, really got to take a serious look at your life and how you're going to do your best for this person who deserves your attention between now and then. But if you're one of those people and you haven't had kids yet, don't.
Well, I also have a friend.
Oh, and there are reasons why. You know how you meet people that don't have kids?
And that's
never
okay.
Thought about it?
The rate has been going down. It used to be about 40 years ago that 90% of women were married and had kids by the time they were 40. Now it's down to 81%.
Yeah, because there is a reason. If you think that you might want not to have kids.
And you can live a very happy, fulfilling life not being a parent.
There you go.
Well, and we have friends that are couples that really should never have had parents. Right. I mean, kids, because they're really closer to each other than they are their children.
Right.
I mean,
you know, we're going to take a really quick break. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I would like to give away one more set of tickets.
Oh, cool.
Gift certificates to the soup plantation.
So if you've never called in, don't be afraid. It's really easy. Press 805-639-0008 and do it while not driving.
Yeah, let's get a first-time caller here right again. 805-639-0008. You're listening to The Kim Pagano. Stay with us. We're going to continue talking about what kind of mom are you?
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
Hi, it's Kim, and I want to share someone with you, my mechanic. With over 30 years of experience, you can be sure that your car will always be handled with the latest diagnostic equipment. Everything that needs to be done to your car will be explained in layman's terms.
Hi, I'm Jerry Schaffner, owner of JBS Auto Services. We specialize in gas, diesel, domestic, foreign, street rod, heavy-duty trucks, and motorhomes. Give us a call so we can take care of all your automotive problems. We are located right off the 118 in Simi Valley. Give us a call, 805-522-3923. Again, that number is 805-522-3923.
It's the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Do you have a story to share? Perhaps an impressive or inspirational journey? We'd love to hear from you. Send an email to kimpagano at gmail.com. That's Kim Pagano, P-A-G-A-N-O, at gmail.com. And now, once again, here's Kim.
I like this music.
Mellow yellow kind of.
Yep. Everybody sing together, right?
No. I want to keep my listeners. All right. Well, welcome back. And you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. And you know what? For some reason, there was a problem with our phone. So if you were calling for the gift certificates to...
It was a plantation.
It was a bad cell connection.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then call there back, 805-639-0008.
And I won't buy it, honest. This is Barry. I answer the phones. I won't buy it, honestly. I won't.
No, of course
you may, but it won't hurt too much.
Right. Well, if you are just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking about moms. And we've been talking about what kind of mom you are. And so our next one is the best friend mother.
Okay.
And who's now in vogue but can wreak havoc. Okay. So what's your thought on that?
The best friend mom, you know, that just my brain flashes back to when I was in high school and back in the late 70s, early 80s, and we saw what we used to call Valley moms. So I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, and so you had all the Valley girls.
I did, too.
You had their moms who were dressing exactly like their daughters, and it was just creepy.
It is. And you know what? And they have to be best friends with the girls' friends or even the boyfriends that come over.
Oh,
they
want
to be flirting with them. I mean, be a mom.
Yeah,
real,
you know, my
yourself,
mom used to tell me that I'm your mom first and your friend later. You know, I remember that all the time. And you know what? I mean, if you have to, you don't want to always be right for your children or, you know, just try to be their friend. You want to, like, guide them through life.
Well, I think that makes kids insecure when they don't have a parent.
Or they're competing for their, you know, a lot of times that's a big thing.
Well, and there's a respect factor. I think that you need to have a little bit of reverence for your parents. Even if you disagree with them, even if you don't like them sometimes, you have to have a bit of reverence. As a small child, you look up and go, wow, they can drive a car. They can pick up bags of groceries. That's amazing. And as we get older, we find our parents less physically amazing, but hopefully we find them deeper spiritually and emotionally amazing. That there's that wisdom that you cultivate over the years that, you know, I know stuff. I know stuff that you don't know. And you might not value it yet, but I know it.
I got the most amazing cards, but one was, I should have brought it in, I'll have to bring it in, from my daughter Tiffany. And she said, you know that, Mom, I at times I think you're a leader because you lead me to be a better person. At times I think you compete with me to know that I should try harder. You know, but it was really...
Was that a written or she wrote that?
It was written, but then she added to it. And then my younger son, another one. Not that I'm counting on either one. That's the problem when you have so many kids, right? But each one has a different personality.
Exactly.
They all bring different things to the table.
And you can't be the best friend.
No, but each one you just value what they're bringing to the table.
Right.
But this was an amazing card. And you know, it's just so neat because... You do want to value each thing that they give you.
You have one more parenting style there?
Yes, we have the last one is the complete mother.
Oh.
What would you think the complete mother is?
Bad?
It's who provides guidance and shows compassion to her child.
Oh, so that's good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so to me, I guess that's it.
Can you be a complete mother without being completely confident?
I don't think so.
I think you can.
I think you can, too.
I think you can. You're better than you think you are.
Frankly, I think sometimes confidence makes you do things harder.
Yeah.
It's like when you're not quite sure, you are much more conscious of things and you work it all out. I don't think we can ever be completely sure of anything.
Now, you guys are at this stage of parenting that I'm really excited about, and I see you as powerful women in the community doing things. But I do run into parents who don't know what to do after the kids are going off to college and moving on with their lives. The active phase of parenting is winding down.
Well, even though we are very busy people, I still have feelings of what direction am I going to go in? What, my next phase of my life is starting.
Right.
It's not as much who am I, but where do I want to be in another 10 years? You know, you have to set a new goal.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, hopefully with medical science being what it is, we should all have an expectation of living pretty long, healthy
right.
lives. And if I plan on live to be 100, maybe 110, we'll see what happens. But that's a lot of years of, I don't want to be just sitting there in front of the TV for
right.
that many years.
Right.
I don't want the end of my life to be, I've seen every single episode of fill in the blank. That's
right.
not going to be on my tombstone.
And also, okay, for our houses, right, our houses are really noisy because we've
yeah,
got lots of kids
exactly.
and lots of friends. Okay,
okay,
and all of a sudden it starts to quiet down.
Yes.
And now it's your husband and yourself.
Cool.
And you start to, you know, I mean, it's different.
You think your husband is looking forward to that?
Oh, my husband is
You know,
totally
my parents were a good example for that. They had three children. We were all very close in age, just very similar to my family. And when we all got out, I remember my mom calling me in college, and she'd be like, oh, we went to Palm Springs. We had the best weekend, and told me a little more information than I wanted to know, really. But, I was so happy to see them
that they had
moving
a life.
On
yeah.
together and together,
right.
not, you know,
separately.
Apart, so.
And I think that's a crucial point.
Sure.
Right.
Is, I mean, do you find that as a therapist?
Well, yeah, that and this kind of this empty nest angst of, well, should I go back to college? Should I restart my career or start a new career? Should I start a blog? Should I write the novel I've always said
right,
I was going to
exactly.
write? Stuff like that. And then I have these interesting moms that are just amazing. They almost give you goosebumps. And they look at you very sincerely and say, but I only want to be a mom.
Oh.
I don't want anything else. And to me, that's very powerful because then I make the very simple suggestion, and people can do with it what they will, but have you ever thought about being a foster mom?
Right.
Because the shortage of foster parents and decent foster parents
right.
is so acute in our community, it's really necessary. And then these moms later turn into the most incredible grandmothers.
Well, we
and
have
so
a
they,
friend
they
that,
that
had
cycle.
Three of her own children and then adopted, then they were grown and gone, and then adopted six foster children.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they're
yeah.
now
six.
One of
Louis's
best friends.
This is at different
yeah.
times. And they are now, the last child is now graduating from high school.
Wow.
And let me tell you something. The husband and wife, which is our friends, they have done a makeover on themselves.
Oh.
And now at this point of their life, they're like,
we're about ourselves.
Yeah, it's all about us
okay.
now.
Okay.
And which is
great.
Good. So
yeah.
they had more time left in there to be
so
parents.
So sometimes
you know?
When your kids are moving on, you're not quite ready for that phase to end. So you continue it by giving
yourself.
So
she did exactly what
yeah.
you're saying. She had a whole nother life with six other children. And
wow.
in her case, several of them had very troubled backgrounds.
Oh.
And she had other things to deal with besides just having a child. They had issues.
Sure.
So now they're up. She's got them all in, you know, all the ones that are out of the house are independent. And then the last one's going to college. I'm so proud
yeah,
of her.
Yeah, but they just did a marathon. They
yeah.
just, I
wow.
mean, they're, yeah, they've
wow.
got it happening. I think
we
that,
can have so many distinct phases of our lives.
Oh, yeah.
Now, and we can have, you can literally have it all if you're patient.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And, but you have to set your goals.
Yeah.
You do have
yeah.
to. You can't just aimlessly go through life.
Yeah.
Because life will happen.
Well, mine is to get my son through middle school now, so.
Yeah. Well, and middle school is the ugliest time.
Oh my
I got to tell you. And just think about your own self in middle school. I don't know a person alive that was secure in middle school.
No.
You think you know, you see some that maybe, but no, they were all insecure little bundles of.
See, I kind of think high school is a little harder, to be honest with you.
And kids need their moms.
High school is where you think that you don't actually need your parents anymore, but that's really where you kind of do because that's
mm-hmm.
where all of a sudden, as a parent,
mm-hmm.
right, you know all your kids' friends. They get into high school and you don't know all their friends anymore.
Yes,
and they start to like.
I agree. Parenting is harder in high school. For the child themselves,
yes.
I think because they have so much hormonal issues in junior high. It is hard.
Yeah.
Well, and they begin the separation and individuation process that really accelerates in high school. It's like, I love you, I need you, but go away.
And they have to do that.
They have to do that. So your job as a parent is to provide those limits and boundaries and that concrete foundation that they can keep ramming up against, but that gives them a great deal of comfort. And there are times where I've had kids say to me that they feel good that they can tell their friends sometimes, hey, I can't go do fill in the blank. Because if my mom and dad catch me,
mm-hmm.
I will be in deep trouble, and
right.
I can't afford that. And they have, leaned on their parents' strictness for a sense of safety.
Well, you know what? I mean, I've always told my kids that is if you are in a place that you really don't think is the right place to go.
Blame me.
Blame me. Exactly. Yeah. Hey, you know what? My mom's telling me that I can't go. Sorry. Yeah. You know, we got something else to go, and there's no way I can change her mind. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. You know, there's a couple more. I know I said there was five, but there's a couple more. There's the clueless mom.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And I think this is important to talk about because the clueless mom who really believes you're studying when you came home, when you come home with grass on your back and doesn't know what that pretty pretty glass vase is in your room is really for.
Oh, my.
Okay. Yeah. There's that kind of thing, right? I mean,
they want to be clueless.
And they don't want to deal with it.
No.
You know, the
it's
alarmist
like that one
mom.
One parent that I hate to say this, but I went, told them that I thought their child was smoking pot because of something, and she told me it was oregano.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you know, some
you
people
see what you
are so
see.
Are so in denial they need to believe it because they just can't handle it. They can't handle the truth, and boy, that's a tragic thing. Get some help because your kid deserves and needs a parent who cares to care.
Right. Yeah. But then there's the opposite. Okay, is the alarmist mom.
Bah!
Okay, that, you know, who thinks that the desks at school are made of poisonous materials.
Oh, yeah.
Or wonders if your moles are growing and assumes you're dead if you don't call exactly. So it's black and white again,
well,
you know.
Well, you are instilling fear in your child that everything is to be feared.
Right.
And that the kid now has to worry not only is the world dangerous, but nothing I do is going to comfort my parent. Now I have to take responsibility for my parent's feelings and not alarm her.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of effort.
This
a
is
lot
really
of energy.
Interesting of getting his input as a therapist.
I think there's a lot of parenting. Once you get your kids to be like 16 years old, and I swear there's a huge thing once they get their driver's license because the independence, you don't know where your kids are all the time and what they're doing. They can say they're doing one thing or whatever. You can pretend you want that you can track them or whatever. At some point, you have to trust your child.
And you have, you know what? You have to instill.
That's right.
You've already had to instill whatever, you know, thoughts and morals that you had.
Exactly.
The next one is the mean mom.
The mean mom.
Yeah. So what the mean mom is, who grounds you first, asks questions later, hates all of your boyfriends, tells you're going nowhere fast, new friends come over and never again, capable of withering plants with a single gaze. You know, plans, right? What about those kind of?
Wow, that's just plain mean.
Because you know what? Here's
you know what?
The problem:
you have to just survive and
is
get the hell
never
away.
Gonna,
yeah, exactly. Get out.
Yeah, but they're never going to be at your home. You're never going to know what they'll never come to you.
Oh,
right.
Exactly. No, they will seek elsewhere, and hopefully they do it well because you know studies have shown that one good teacher who really takes an interest in a child or somebody else's mother, an adult, a coach, a teacher, a mentor of some kind, a pastor, can really make all the difference for that child and insulate them against that very mean mom.
Yeah, and there's two more really quick, and then our show is over. The old country mom who was born elsewhere and uses you as an interpreter.
Oh, that and the benchmarks.
Yeah.
You have to rise to my standards from the old country and forget that you're becoming an American.
Yeah, they just want you to marry a nice boy or girl.
Well, that's cultural, and some of that you
that
just have
is,
to grow
right?
out of.
Yeah, and then the last one is the stage mom who pushes you into fame but hates being left behind, wants to share or steal the spotlight.
Oh, is that the super tanning mom?
Ooh, yeah. What about
no,
that?
It's the mom whose kids are in commercials at 3 years old.
Well, I mean, there are kids who can do it well and mothers who can encourage their children in the entertainment industry without being, you know,
crazy.
Completely crazy over the board and living life vicariously through their kids. Let your kid do it because they love to do it and they want to do it, not because you want to.
Right, and don't forget the childhood in the meantime.
Right, and let them try on all those different things and find out what their passion is. Mm-hmm. You've already had your passion, and hopefully you are living your passion.
Yeah.
You know, every day
is anew. Don't
live
through your kids, live through you. And by living your authentic life, your inspired life, you show your kids how to live their inspired life. You live by example, not through them.
Exactly. Great, great advice here. And again, I thank all of my listeners for being a part of our show today. I want to remind you that all of our shows are downloaded on KimPaganoShow.com, so definitely check that out. Also on iTunes. you can download them there so you can go and exercise and, you know, still have them with you. And so you can go back and listen to all your favorite ones. Let's see, what else?
You can share them with your friends.
Share them, please.
Yeah, if there's a topic like today that you think, oh, my God, so-and-so probably didn't listen, I want to share it with them.
Great idea. Absolutely. And also become a fan on Facebook so I can connect with all of you out there. Mm-hmm. Dr.
Your new goal
Stephen
is
Trudeau,
1,000, right?
That's right, because I'm already over my 500.
It's easy to find me. I'm on the internet everywhere, Dr. Stephen Trudeau. But my website is humansguide.com. And I've got a blog on there I'm so proud of called The Courage to Thrive. And every individual should read that and find within themselves the courage to thrive and what it means to them.
All right. And Marcia, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
All right. Barry on our board, thank you.
Thank you.
And I am going to be putting all of my mommy moments day by day on my Facebook for you. I'm actually going to be starting a new Facebook page. And
a mommy moments Facebook page?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. So I'm really excited to share that. And, of course, I end all of my show with a mommy moment. And today's is every day has its miracles. So for today, take the time to notice them.
So, ooh,
yeah, nice. It is Motivational Monday, and I am so glad that you are starting your day here in a positive way, and I welcome you to start your week with, you know, a few things that you want to accomplish in your life, and today's the day to start them. So with that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Where you are, no matter how far, just call my name. I'll be there in a hurry. On that you can depend and never worry.
No wind,
no wind,
no rain,
no rain.
Oh, winter's cold.
I know you must follow the sun.